KALW.
From KALW News in San Francisco, this is Cross Currents. Context, culture, and connection from around the Bay Area.
Richmond.
Outer Sunset.
Hey, I'm from Foster City.
Alameda.
Coming up, we'll take you to the Central Valley to get to know the first African-American town in California.
They wanted to form this community to prove to the world that Black people were actually capable of governing their lives.
But then the residents of Allensworth found arsenic in their water supply.
It's just like being in Flint and having lead in your water and you not know about it.
So one family fought to get it fixed.
My mother started going to the county. She asked question after question after question. People start realizing this lady is not going away.
The debut of the original audio documentary, The Town That Refuses to Die, coming up on Cross Currents. When drinking water gets contaminated, there's usually a polluter to blame. Most likely, it's the fault of big industry spewing out toxic fertilizers or synthetic chemicals. But in nearly 100 communities in California, this isn't the case. They have water that's contaminated with a naturally occurring chemical, arsenic. Allensworth, California is one of those communities. It's a tiny town a couple of hours north of L.A. in California's Central Valley. It's in Tulare County, one of the poorest counties in the state. And it was the first all-Black community in California, founded in the early 1900s. Today, it's home to about 500 people, but they don't have water that's safe to drink. Reporter Sarah Craig takes us to Allensworth to learn about this former African-American utopia and meet a family that's been fighting for over a decade to get clean water.
All right, where you want to sit?
How about you guys could all sit on this couch and I can sit in front of you?
Dennis Hudson pulls up a chair for me.
Thank you.
He and his two sisters sit down on their mother's couch.
That's what we call front and center.
Right.
The screen door is open to let the breeze in, and outside I can see farmland that stretches for miles. Inside, pictures of their mom and her kids are everywhere, mixed in with little inspirational sayings that hang on the walls.
Okay, can I have you guys squeeze together as much as possible?
Just kind of get cozy. You say that we are a close-knit family, are you?
Yeah. Sherry Hunter sits down on the left side of the couch. She's the youngest. She's friendly and laid back. Denise Kadara sits down next to her. She and Dennis are twins. Denise is the older one by just a few minutes, and she definitely seems like the big sister of the family. And Dennis, he's always making jokes.
I think we're close-knit family. We get along well with each other.
Dennis moved to Allensworth 2 years ago to join his sisters, who have lived there for about a decade. They all knew about the arsenic before they came to Allensworth, though. It's been in the water for generations.
You know, it's a carcinogenic, of course.
Causes cancer.
Then Sherry pulls out her phone and Googles it as Denise and Dennis read over her shoulder.
And it causes nausea, vomiting.
Diabetes, hypertension.
Cardiovascular disease, neurological problems, and development disorders. So it's not good in your water at all.
Sherry keeps scrolling down the page until she gets to the section about how arsenic affects kids.
All of us had little children that grew up in Allensworth. And it talks about how it affects their ability to learn.
Many studies back this up. In one out of Maine, children who are drinking arsenic-laden water tested 5 to 6 points lower on an IQ test.
It's not comforting. I mean, it's just like being in Flint and having lead in your water and you not know about it. We know about it. We just don't really fully understand the effects from having arsenic in our water.
Denise told me that she's heard stories from her other sister, Regina. Regina has lived in Allensworth for over 30 years. She says she knows half a dozen families who have seen many of their family members die of cancer. She says most of the cases have been either stomach, prostate, or liver cancer. Both prostate and liver cancer are connected to arsenic poisoning. But there's no way to really know if it's related to the arsenic in the water. And it's also hard to know how many residents are aware that the water isn't always safe to drink. Every time there is too much arsenic in Allensworth's drinking water, residents are supposed to get a notice in the mail from the Allensworth Water District. It's required by law. But the notice downplays the health risks. It suggests the water is still safe to drink, that another water supply isn't necessary. The three siblings didn't learn about the arsenic from one of these notices. Denise says they learned about it from their mom, Nettie Morrison. Nettie learned about it in the early 80s, a few years after she moved there. At that point, there were very high levels of arsenic in the town's well, 10 times the legal limit set today.
My first concern was our children were drinking the water. We felt bad about it. It's like, how long have we been drinking this bad water?
But Sherry didn't stop drinking it right away.
I used to take gallons of this water back to Southern California with me because it tastes so good. Even when my mother told us the water is no longer good, I like the taste of it. So I continue to drink it, you know.
That's what's wrong with you now.
Sherry, Denise, and Dennis weren't living in Allensworth at the time. They all lived in and around L.A., a few hours south. But they would come visit their mom, Nettie, for long vacations. And Nettie decided to do something about the water.
My mother started going to the county. She asked question after question after question. And people started realizing, this lady is not going away, and she is not joking. And we can't just pacify her to shut her up, because she'll be back tomorrow.
Nettie's efforts helped Allensworth get two new wells. One was drilled in the 80s, and another in the 90s. Those wells tapped water reserves that were okay to drink, according to the standards set by the EPA. But in 2001, the EPA changed its standards. It lowered the legal limit of arsenic from 50 parts per billion to 10 parts per billion. But 10 parts per billion isn't necessarily safe. It's just the amount the EPA decided was practical. They weighed the health risks of the toxin against how much it would cost to upgrade water systems throughout the country. They even considered lowering it to just 3 parts per billion. But that would have cost too much. Really, any amount of arsenic in your water isn't good for you. But the standards the EPA set at 10 parts per billion were adopted by California, and Allensworth Water went out of compliance again. A few years later, Sherry and Denise got involved. Their mom, Nettie, was getting older. Sherry took her place as president of the Water District. Denise took over as president of the Progressive Association, a group trying to improve Allensworth. Nettie passed away last year, and her kids are still continuing her work. It's Sunday at the Allensworth Christian Church. The green velvet pews are packed, and people are standing shoulder to shoulder at the back of the room. They've come from small black churches all around Allensworth. The pastor begins his sermon by honoring Nettie.
If you have a program, I want you to look at this picture here. Today wouldn't be possible if it wasn't for Nettie Morrison, the mother and founder of Allensworth Christian Church.
It seems like everyone knew Nettie Morrison.
She became a community activist, putting Allensworth back on the map.
What I really want you to get out of this today, her light is still shining. Her legacy is not on paper and pencil. It's engraved in my heart. It's engraved in her children's heart. And it ought to be engraved in yours.
Denise says Nettie was always asking her and her siblings to come help.
The next thing we knew, she was doing it, and she was dragging all of us along with it to participate. I need you guys to come to Allensworth. It's like, what are we going to do? Just get down here, you and the kids. And she would be having a fish fry in the park next to the church.
And every time you see this little church, you'll remember Nettie Mae Morrison, because her legacy is here. Here in the town that refused to die. Amen. God bless.
Denise says that Nettie came here because she wanted to keep the history of Allensworth alive.
When she heard the history of a town site that was established by African Americans, she wanted to be a part of it. And several of the African Americans that were still in the community when she first came here said, God sent you to this place to take care of us. My mom said, he didn't tell me that.
Dennis says Nettie heard about Allensworth in the late 70s.
She felt that she wanted to be a part of something historic. It was the first community established by Black people and operated by Black people in California.
It was founded in 1908 by a retired minister named Colonel Allen Allensworth. He was in his late 60s by then, but back when he was a kid, in the 1850s, he was a slave in Kentucky. He taught himself to read, but he was punished for it and was separated from his family. Then when he was about 20 years old, Allensworth escaped by joining the Union during the Civil War. He eventually served as the highest-ranking Black officer in the U.S. Army. After he retired, he traveled west, and he founded Allensworth because he wanted to give African Americans a chance to own and farm their own land. Dennis seems to have followed in his footsteps.
So, Nate, you up to coming up here? Side that fence is just a little bit of stuff we should probably hold down.
And then we're back on track on this one.
Right.
Dennis is working with his nephew to cut back weeds from creeping into his field of alfalfa.
Right. What I'm going to do is turn on the flood irrigation system.
Just last year, he bought a huge tract of land in Allensworth to start an organic farm.
It was like the Lord said to me, buy a farm. What am I going to do with a farm? I'm a preacher. Anyway, so I bought the farm. It was overwhelming, scary at first because I've never owned any real land. I mean, I've owned homes before, but not 60 acres of land. That's a big piece of land.
Dennis says he bought the farm to continue the mission of Colonel Allensworth. He says it's important for him, as a Black farmer, to own his own land.
When African Americans were brought to the United States as slaves, we could not own land. We could not have property. We were property.
Dennis tells me the water on his farm also has arsenic, in much higher levels than what's in Allensworth's drinking water. Arsenic is just everywhere in this area. It's really hard to find water without the toxin in it. There was even arsenic in the very first wells in Allensworth, back when the original settlers moved there in the early 1900s. Many of those people are buried in Allensworth Cemetery. It's just to the west of Dennis's farm.
Now, listen. When we walk out here, we have to be aware of a few things. One of them out here is a rattlesnake. Okay?
All right.
I'm walking with John Pope, and I'm letting him go slightly ahead of me because I really don't want to step on a rattlesnake.
There are people here that died while the town was in its heyday. Right now, it's ravaged, it's devastated. There's nothing here. We got wooden crosses that have been sitting there for who knows how long. Don't even touch them because they might fall down.
John's in the board of Allensworth Water District, and his family has lived in this town for generations.
My family has actually been here since Allensworth has been here. I have a relative that has a barbershop in the town. It's the Milner Barbershop. So that's, my great-great-great-uncle.
John told me his name was Frank Milner, and he came to Allensworth from San Francisco. For Frank and other African Americans, Allensworth was a symbol of freedom. They came looking for a place free of racial discrimination, escaping Jim Crow. Today, Allensworth is a big part of African American history.
They all came from different cities, you know, St. Louis, L.A., San Francisco. They wanted to form this community to prove to the world that Black people were actually capable of sustaining, governing, and managing their lives on every level. This town here was just like any other Black town throughout America.
When Allensworth was founded in 1908, Black towns like it were springing up all over the U.S. There was Greenwood, Oklahoma, known famously as Black Wall Street. There was Blackdom, New Mexico, and Buxton, Iowa.
When Colonel Allensworth, Professor Payne, and Mr. Mitchell, when they came across the railroad track and they looked out there, there's water over here, water over there, water gushing out the ground. You know, he picked a prime spot because we're at the lower part of the lake. Tulare Lake was right there.
Tulare Lake is all dried up now, and it's filled with acres of pistachio and almond trees. But back then, it was enormous, It was the biggest lake west of the Mississippi.
It just was absolutely beautiful. And the railroad track was there, so Allensworth became this hub.
But their success didn't last very long. Four catastrophes, one after another, destroyed the town. The first had to do with water.
The first one was the water was diverted from this town. And as the water got diverted, the natural aquifer started to subside.
In the early 1900s, more and more farmers were moving to the area, and they needed water. They diverted streams and rivers, which was legal at the time. Tulare Lake started to dry up, and the aquifer started to go down. About 2 years after Allensworth was founded, its wells went dry. Most communities would just drill a deeper well. That's what everyone does in the valley when they're out of water. But the company that sold the land to Colonel Allensworth didn't play fair. They didn't follow through on their promise to provide the town with an adequate water system, and they left them with thousands of dollars of debt. Then, about a year later, the second tragedy hit.
Second thing they did, they took the railroad track and they put it 6.5 miles to the west of it.
There was a train stop in Allensworth, and farmers would use the town to ship their crops and livestock to market.
So the farmers, they had to pay black people, and the town was prospering.
But in 1914, wealthy farmers nearby raised money to build another railroad stop in Alpa. Alpa is the town next door to Allensworth, where mostly whites lived. The new stop took away most of the business from Allensworth, and by 1930, the station closed down. Then, the town suffered the third and biggest blow. Colonel Allen Allensworth, the town's founder, was killed. It happened near Los Angeles, where he was giving a sermon. He was walking across the street when two white men on a motorcycle ran him over. It was broad daylight on a paved road that was at least 60 feet wide. People who saw Allensworth get hit said there wasn't any traffic.
The death of Colonel Allensworth made everybody hang their heads down and give up.
Then, in 1917, there was the fourth and final disaster. A huge drought hit the Central Valley and lasted on and off for about 2 decades. People started leaving Allensworth, and the community turned into a ghost town. Only a few families stayed, and squatters moved into the abandoned buildings. Today, most of the houses in Allensworth are single or double-wide trailers, parked on top of dry, yellowed grass. It's not unusual to see goats, chickens, and cows fenced in people's backyards. And most people who live in Allensworth today aren't African-American. They're Mexican and Mexican-American. Margarita Rosales, who goes by Margie, moved to Allensworth when it was still a mostly black town in the mid-60s. Who's that?
That's my dog. She's too wild.
I meet Margie at the gate to her house. She's offered to drive me around Allensworth.
This is my property. It's 25 acres. And I'll show you first where I was raised.
At the corner of Margie's land, we make a left and drive past a few old historic buildings.
The Barnes lived there. The Lewis lived there. The Baileys.
Then we stop in the middle of the road because there's hardly any traffic here. Off to the side is her family's old house, the only house in town that has an upstairs.
So I guess I grew up thinking I was black because I was raised here.
Margie has lived in Allensworth almost her whole life. But when her family first moved, there was a problem.
There was no water when we moved here. I'll show you right now. We had to go and get water in big old tanks.
We take off again and make another left turn onto a bumpy dirt side road. It dead ends at a metal fence right before the railroad tracks. To our right is a small ditch overgrown with weeds.
See, the little canal went there. And we would get in there with our bar of soap. And
this is where you would take a bath right here?
Yep. We would take a bath right there. But water to drink, we would have to go to Delano because there was no water in Allensworth.
Delano is hard to get to. The town is about 13 miles away from Allensworth. Even the canal, where they took baths, is about a mile from Margie's childhood home. Her family, and the rest of the residents in Allensworth, got tired of hauling water. In the late 60s, they formed a water company so they could drill a community well. And they got financial assistance from the federal government to build one. But the funding only covered the cost of drilling the well. And that was it.
I don't know with the county or who, they told them, okay, you guys are the ones that are going to have to make the lines.
Meaning the residents themselves had to dig trenches for the water pipes that would connect the well to their houses.
I must have been 7, 8, when with a shovel and pick, they would dig all the way up till they got to that person's house.
There's no record of why the state or the county didn't help dig the lines. It was most likely a lack of resources, but it made an impression on Margie.
They didn't really care, really. It was just a poor black community.
The well was finished a year later, and the county was put in charge of making sure the water was safe to drink. But it wasn't safe. The county tested the well, and that's when it found the arsenic in the water, more than 10 times the legal limit set today. There are no records that show how long people in Allensworth were drinking contaminated water. It could have been for over a decade. This is a very poor town of about 500 people with a tiny tax base. There's really no revenue coming in, so it's entirely dependent on the county. And the county is responsible for making sure Allensworth's water district is doing its job, testing the water and telling residents when there's too much arsenic. But the county didn't do a good job of enforcing these rules or of helping them find better water.
It makes me feel that our community is neglected. Nothing is happening quick enough.
That's Denise Kadara, one of the three siblings who's trying to find better water.
Why? Why are we still having to do this? Is it because we're poor? Are we not entitled to safe drinking water, which is the state law?
In 2014, the state stepped in after it discovered the county was failing to do its job. It found that the county was understaffed and stretched thin. At the same time, the EPA found that California overall was failing to make sure people had clean drinking water. It basically told the state to get its act together. Here's Sherry.
Well, they started working with us a little more to help get resources to do the things we need to do.
Things like having a water engineer look at Allensworth's water system and recommend ways it could improve the town's water quality. Ultimately, though, it's up to the water district to find a solution to the arsenic in the water. But like most small districts, Allensworth's is in bad shape. When it balanced its books last summer, Sherry told me it had a $13,000 deficit. It struggles with aging infrastructure, a backlog of paperwork, and residents who just don't pay.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you? Good.
It's hard enough for the district to just hold its monthly meeting.
Okay, we're going to go ahead and start the meeting.
Sherry is the president of the water district. She runs the meetings in Allensworth's one-room community center. She's been waiting 20 minutes for the third board member to show up, and she isn't waiting any longer.
As of right now, we do not have a quorum because our third board member is not here, but we can do informational stuff. We just can't approve anything until we have a quorum.
Sherry and the other two board members don't get paid for their work, and it's not uncommon that they can't afford to show up. Don Pope, the man who gave me a tour of the cemetery, is the one who's missing today. He works 12-hour days, 6 days a week, at a nearby dairy farm.
If there's anybody that's interested in serving on Allensworth Community Service District Board...
The board can have up to 5 members, but it needs at least 3 to vote on anything.
We desperately need people to be on the board.
The water district has been trying to find a solution to the arsenic in its water. But it's been a very slow uphill battle. A few years ago, it tried to work with Alpa, the town next door. It also has high levels of arsenic in its water. But Alpa managed to get a water treatment plant from the state because they couldn't find a place to drill a good well. Allensworth tried to join Alpa's treatment plant, but Alpa didn't want to work with Allensworth. The same old story. Negotiations between the two communities fell apart. It just seemed like Allensworth couldn't win, but the district kept looking for another place to drill a well. and it found one. But there was another problem.
We haven't started the construction of the new well because Fish and Wildlife have a lizard, a leopard lizard that live out there.
The lizard Sherry is talking about is called the blunt-nosed leopard lizard. It's a fully protected endangered species, which means Allensworth Water District will need to get a special exemption from the state to even begin the process of applying for a permit to drill on the land where the lizards live.
And you would think that human consumption is more important than a little leopard lizard, but with wildlife, Fish and Wildlife, that leopard lizard is more important to them.
To try to get the special exemption, Sherry, Denise, and Dennis, along with Denise's son and his family, traveled to the state capitol in Sacramento in the summer of 2018. This trip is a big deal. It's taken two generations to even get to this point. Their mom began the search for clean water back in the 80s. The siblings have been to the state capitol before, but this is the first time Sherry is going to testify.
This is Jesse. So I was curious who is going to be speaking when we do the presentation. We usually have about two speakers.
For the leopard lizard?
Okay. Sherry says she would, and if she doesn't, I will. Do we need two speakers?
We don't need two speakers, but whomever would like to.
Okay, it'll probably be me.
The plan is for Sherry and Denise to speak in front of the Water, Parks, and Wildlife Committee meeting. It's a meeting where assembly members will decide whether or not to pass a bill that will allow Allensworth to apply for a permit to drill on the land where the lizards live. Jessie Snyder is there helping them. She's from a nonprofit that's working with Allensworth to find better water.
Sherry and Denise ought to be the two to speak. So, but if you don't want to, Sherry, you don't have to.
What are you just nervous? Dennis was asking, what's this about? I said, it's about a leopard-nosed lizard.
A few minutes later, it's time to walk upstairs to the meeting.
Blunt-nosed leopard lizard.
Yes.
Blunt-nosed leopard lizard. I just been calling them the leopard lizard.
That works. Because there's also a long-nosed leopard lizard, I believe.
Okay.
Sherry and her family enter a dimly lit assembly room. People are talking in hushed voices. 14 committee members sit in a semicircle up front. Hi. Jesse leans over to Sherry and whispers one last word of encouragement to go up and speak.
As long as you're comfortable, I think you should, especially since you're just your president.
Yeah. You better be holding my hand.
I'll hold your hand.
Okay.
It'll only last a couple minutes. It'll be so fast, you won't even believe it.
Sherry nods okay, and the meeting begins.
Good morning. Welcome to Water, Parks, and Wildlife, agenda of Tuesday, June 12th.
After the bill is introduced, Sherry and Denise are invited to speak.
Thank you.
Sherry goes first.
My name is Sherry Hunter. I'm president of Allensworth Community Service District. And Allensworth.
She talks about how important it is to have clean water, which will help Allensworth grow.
To grow and prosper with good, clean drinking water.
My name is Denise Kadara. I'm also a resident of Allensworth.
Then Denise talks about the state's policy, that everyone should have a right to clean drinking water.
And that's what we're requesting now. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Others in support of the bill?
Everything happens so fast. They walk back to their seats, and the committee members start the vote.
Gallagher?
Aye.
Gallagher, aye. Bigelow?
Aye.
Bigelow, aye. Choi?
Aye.
The future of Allensworth depends on this vote.
Chu, aye. Friedman?
Aye.
Friedman, aye. Gloria?
Aye.
After 14 votes, it passes.
We'll leave that open.
Thank you all very
much.
Thank you.
In the lobby, Sherry's worried look is gone. She's smiling. Jesse gives her a hug.
Great job. One step closer, right?
As we walk out of the state capitol, I ask Sherry about the day.
You feel pretty good?
Yeah. I mean, I feel good because it's just another step. And the sooner we can get it done, then we can get that well dug and get clean drinking water, which is something we've been trying to do for years.
Cool.
So I'm super excited.
Less than 2 months after the meeting, the bill passed the Senate. Then, less than a month after that, the governor signed it into law. Just over a century after Allensworth was founded, The siblings may have found a way to help their town thrive again. Years of work, of lab tests, of community meetings, of searching for better water, could soon be coming to an end. But there are more hurdles they have to go over. They have to apply for a permit from the California Department of Fish and Wildlife. Then they have to apply for more government money to actually drill the well. It could take another 3 years of waiting, but they're one step closer to getting good, clean drinking water. But there could be more obstacles. Even if Allensworth is able to drill a new well, residents will only be able to drink the water that's close to the surface. That's because the deeper the well, the more arsenic in the water. The toxin is more concentrated the deeper underground you go. So if you think into the future, when the next big drought hits, it doesn't require much foresight to guess what will happen. Just look at what the state went through in the last drought. Water tables dropped and wells went dry all over the Central Valley. That scenario is predicted to get worse. With climate change making droughts longer and more frequent, Allensworth may find itself right back where it started. But these people haven't given up easily. That's how Allensworth got its reputation, as the town that refuses to die.
You've been listening to the original KALW documentary, The Town That Refuses to Die. It was reported and produced by Sarah Craig, edited by Ben Trefney. Special thanks to Nettie Morrison's children, Denise Kadara, Sherry Hunter, and Dennis Hudson. Thank you to Margie Rosales and John Pope. And thanks to Jesse Snyder and Self Help Enterprises. This story was funded by California Humanities, the International Women's Media Foundation, the Society of Environmental Journalists, and the New Economies Project. For Cross Currents, I'm Hannah Baba.